We'd like to award this year's Pulitzer Prize to Mr. X. Unfortunately, we don't know who he is, so his cash award will be used to feed starving children.
No! I'm Mr. X. Give me.
We'll need some proof.
Ta-da!
He is Mr. X.
Thank you, folks.
Call my office.
Call now. If you can't get to a phone, call me now. Then buy a phone.
Well, that sounds great. And you know what? It'll be nice having a little extra cash to bet on college football. Yeah, I'd like to bet $100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
Time now for our gambling D-gentleman, Mr. X, to join us as the amazing Mets, Mr. X, have advanced past the Phillies to the NLCS. Fuck my life. There is a streak of 10 straight years. The road to the NLCS has gone through the Brewers. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And there it is again. Once again, 162 games. All this effort and time, and it's gone in less than a week. That's baseball, right? Or that's the modern baseball playoffs?
Both, that's for sure.
Do you like it or not?
Oh, it doesn't matter if you
it's here.
Anybody who's not named Jerry Maguire doesn't say fewer clients, less money.
Right. So Jerry Maguire was a fictional character in a movie for a reason. No one does actually say that. Yes. More personal service.
Once you add rounds and add money, it never goes back. So it doesn't do us any good. What we have to do is say, this is supposed to be a fun format. This is NCAA tournament. Put everybody in and anyone can win. And it is what it is. And this idea that, like, the best teams are going to win. Nope. I mean, we got to, two straight years? I saw something today, it was a ever since stat, the kind Zabe hates.
It's
ever since we went to this format, the sixth seed has been in every year. Well, it's only been 2 years.
I know. So
but it could be three now if the Mets, go one more. So
there's a worse stat I hate, which is number of days since blank did blank. And they always count the number of days, including the off season when nobody's playing games. Dumbest fucking stat ever. If you forward that stat, like, hey, look at this, you should be slapped violently. So the Yankees right now are in a 2-2 dogfight with the Royals, game three, series tied one apiece. And the Dodgers tonight try to stave off their own elimination, and they're going to throw a bullpen game because their pitching staff is so decimated. Fun times.
Well, what do you expect with $350 million? A rotation?
I know. Whoops. We forgot to get that. Now, Dodgers apologists will say, well, injuries.
Yep.
And the rest of the world will say, yeah, did you ever think about buying some depth? Just asking.
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah.
So far, I am, nobody wants to hear it. I have nailed the NL on the nose, gotten all rounds. I had San Diego beating the Mets in the NLCS. I had the Padres beating the Mets in the NLCS. Okay. So if they get there, they're not there yet. The Dodgers can win two straight, but it looks pretty good. Then you go to the AL side, and I'm 0 for everything. I haven't gotten a single round right on the American League.
So you
did not believe in the Royals and Tigers. Did not believe, and they're making me look pretty bad on that side.
Yeah. So you're tracking nicely at least on the NL side with the postseason picks at callmemrx.com.
Yep.
All right. You have a boat called Don't Tell Mom. It's on a nice little lake up in Maine, nowhere near Hurricane Milton. Good.
Correct.
There is a guy, though, in Tampa, just, off the coast of Tampa Bay, or in the bay itself, and he is being dubbed as the real-life Lieutenant Dan. If you haven't seen the movie Forrest Gump, I don't know why I have to explain this, but as the movie went, Lieutenant Dan, with nothing to live for, stayed out in the shrimp boat with Forrest Gump during a major storm, survived it, said, that's all you got. And so this guy was interviewed saying he's going to stay on his boat during the hurricane. I sent you a link to the story, but it's even juicier because people are now gambling on the odds whether he lives or dies, or you hear from him ever again. Would you like to jump in on the odds, Mr. X?
I saw the story.
Okay.
I kind of like to know the odds and who's really posting that odds.
Well,
is it really?
I don't think it's sports book, but it's got to be some outfit. Yeah. The odds are, let me see if I can find the number here. It was yes, minus 160, no, plus something else.
Yeah, that he survived. So the odds are he makes it. Okay.
It's called Retardio Casino.
Okay. Okay. You know what? I got no idea where to go on that one.
All right. Do you want to hear from him? Here, take a listen to his logic on this. Again, you're a boat owner. You ready? Here we go.
Life jacket.
Hell no.
Are you going to be able to swim if it need be?
In circles.
Can you swim with one leg or what?
Yeah, I can float like a damn champ. But swimming, I just go in circles.
So the plan's just to stick it out here?
Yeah. I mean, the water's going to come in. It's going to rise. If you're on land, it's going to flood. You're risking drowning. I'm in a boat. The boat goes up with the water. So even if the boat goes up 100 feet in the air, I'm going to be up 100 feet in the air with the water. So it's really the safest place in the world to be is on my boat. And I got room for one more female.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, but there's a big line.
Now, he said with one leg. I'm trying to see, is he a one-legged guy on top of that? He's standing, but I didn't even notice that he might only have one leg. See, what he's failing to account for is something called the wind, which will push that boat and rip it from its moorings and then either capsize that shitty little sailboat with its shitty little curtain coverings of the interior cabin and maybe shove it up against a building or 5 miles on shore wedged under a highway overpass.
Let me see if I get this right. You're saying he's not that bright.
Well, maybe it's not going to be that bad, but good luck, real life Lieutenant Dan. We'll see if he makes it through the night.
Zabe, to hold off before you do all this, I'm going to send you a picture that's going to be your, you know, you all often have like a picture on your podcast link, whatever you call the new. I'm sending you last fall, I don't know what it was, hurricane somebody that went through the Northeast and hit us just a little bit. Just a little bit. And I'll show you my neighbor's pontoon boat on the mooring upside down. That's your picture for tomorrow's pod, right?
Although it's a small picture, I'm not sure people will get it. I might post a picture of the real life Lieutenant Dan because he's quite the character. He's got total, you know, skin that has been kissed by the sun 360 days a year, tattoos all over his chest, skinny guy, scruffy goatee, and his necklace is a shark hook.
Well, you know, this, whatever the subject, it always comes back to the same thing, which is there have been stupid people since the start of time. They just now have platforms.
Well, everyone's got a camera and an instant way to put that on a platform to make it go viral.
Exactly.
Say, do you see this? See this? See this?
Yeah.
And as always on these things, I like to always reserve at least a 10% hold on it could be a work. It could be an elaborate sort of like, let's try to go viral with something that's totally not true. Okay, I got a question or two for you.
All right.
And then we will go from there.
Yep.
Question. What's the difference between an NFL head coach and a good coordinator? Now, before you answer, I preface it by saying the following. Right now, Vance Joseph is killing it as the D coordinator with the Broncos when he was once the head coach and having the time of his life, as Sergio Dipp once said. failed as a head coach, swallowed his pride, went back to work with Sean Payton. That Denver defense is legit. Meanwhile, Brian Flores didn't make it as a head coach in Miami. Got fired, claimed it was racist, suing the league. Lawsuit still going, but guess what? He's got Minnesota's defense cooking right now. Cliff Kingsbury with a K, run out of Arizona on a rail. Considered just a lightweight that didn't belong in the NFL. When he got fired, he said, I've got a one-way ticket to Thailand. See you later. Wanted to get the hell out of the country. He's back as the OC for the Commanders, and he's cooking up some delicious stuff with Jaden Daniels, their sensational rookie, as his quarterback. Now, with that said, what's the difference? You want to know my answers? I'll tell you my answers. You ready?
Hold on. You need my answer first. I would have said about $5 or $6 million.
Yeah. Okay. That's not a bad answer right there. To me, Mr. X, the difference between a head coach and a good coordinator comes down to three things. Timeouts and fourth downs, because that's what the head coach decides on. When we're going to call them, are we going for it or not? Press conferences, which the D coordinator has to do one a week. If that, some coordinators don't speak, depending on the organization. And the third is babysitting. The coordinators do no babysitting. Apparently, Antonio Pierce now claims Davante Adams and him talked, and he's, quote, fine, and may actually play this week as they try to get somebody to trade for him. That's what the head coach does. Not everyone is suited to do those three things and do them well. And therefore, they may fail as a head coach, but if they go back to just coaching ball and being a coordinator, they could go back to being really, really good. I'll hang up and be interested to hear your thoughts.
Okay, here's my thought. I think it's also three things, and two of them you got. I'll give you the babysit,
okay,
and I'll give you the first one. What was it the strategy, the timeouts?
Timeouts and fourth downs.
I don't like the press conference theory. I've always hated that theory. And to me, it's what I call the Joe Torre rule.
Okay.
When 90s, when he coached the Yankees and they were so good, and the New York media, and people used to say, nobody can handle the media and the pressure like Joe Torre. And I said, that's great. He's good. It equates to zero wins on the field. I think it's so overrated. When you see a good or a bad press conference, I don't think
there's
a player that gives a crap
about
that. I think that's a lot of media hype.
Okay, but that's a baseball situation.
Well,
managers,
I don't think
nah.
Bill Belichick can't do a press conference worth of crap. Did
No. Here's the thing. Belichick was very smart in that he completely shut down, clammed up, over any press-related narrative. Yeah. The weaker coaches, this is part of what did Robert Saleh in, is the whole cadence gate from the week before. He said, you know what, we may have to think about, you know, slowing down our cadence so we don't have as many false starts. Rodgers then kneecapped him by saying, or you can hold guys accountable. Now, some will say, well, that's just Rodgers being an asshole, kneecapping his coach. Correct. But you know who gave Rodgers a chance to kneecap him? The coach himself. He had no obligation to say, we might have to slow it down. Shut your mouth. Belichick knew that better than anybody. That's why he gave you nothing.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I think what I'm getting at, you're right. I think what I'm getting at is a bad reveal of info or any insight can be your kiss of death. It can be your, wait, you're not very smart. Why are you our guy? But I don't think that being good at press conferences actually gets you any W's.
No, it does not get you a win, but it keeps your team from being bogged down or sidetracked by media-driven narratives that may not be healthy. That's all.
But the one that I would add it to your list, I think that one of the most important things, the head coach has to motivate, but that's kind of right in with your babysit. You know, you're motivating because you're keeping them from pouting and being big babies. I'll give you that altogether. But I think a head coach is like a CEO, and your team is important. Your staff is important. And if you're a really successful, good head coach, you can put together a heck of a staff. You can't do that. You know, there's Joe Gibbs, you know, could have a staff of six guys that wanted to come with him, that could all have been excelling elsewhere, but they wanted to be with him. So I do think that, like any management, if you can put a team together, sometimes you don't have to do as much.
Yeah.
So I think that's the biggest thing on a head coach. If you're the guy that other coaches want to be with, that is an unappreciated aspect.
Yeah. I think pro coaches in the NFL motivate mostly through just being consistent and making the players realize, I'll find somebody else to do your job if I have to. You don't, it's not a rah-rah, it's not a let's go, come on, man. I mean, you see some of that on the sidelines, but that's mostly window dressing. Coaches motivate by the fear of, listen, if you get hurt or if you're not performing, we'll find somebody else. And or I'm not going to make it dramatic.
Yeah, or in Belichick's case, if you're 10 minutes late for a meeting, I don't care if you got 200 yards yesterday.
Well,
you're gone.
Do you remember? Do you remember the blizzard in New England that stranded players where they literally couldn't get out of their driveway? And he was like kangaroo court finding guys that didn't make it to the facility?
Yeah. The best one was that they had a rookie back who got 200 yards filling in, and he was late to a meeting, and we never heard from him again.
Yeah, well.
I can't think of that guy's name. Gray.
Yeah, Jonas Gray?
Yeah, maybe that was it.
Tom Coughlin would say if you're not 5 minutes early, you're late.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And I love that. It's like when a meeting starts at 10, don't be walking through the door at 10. We've already started. Where are you? I love Coughlin for that.
All right, before we get to the NFL and last week's picks and what we're looking at this week, Thursday nighter coming up is a pretty good one. San Francisco, Seattle.
Yeah.
Is your game on Thursday night. We'll make our picks on that. Mr. X has his prop as well, so stay tuned for that. But a little bit more baseball here, and we're going to get to Pete Rose because I didn't get your 2 cents on his passing and just the whole Pete Rose experience. But Bob Costas, where do you stand on Bob Costas as an announcer?
I liked him in the beginning, his passion for the game.
What beginning? He's been around 50 years.
Yeah, well, maybe the first 10.
Okay.
I loved his passion in the beginning because he loves the game. I can't take him anymore. Okay. I can't take him.
Well, then you're going to have to get a line like at the deli because a lot of people are basically saying enough already. I was almost right about it. 44 years. Costas was with NBC from 1980 to 2019. Holy shit, 44 years since he started NBC. So Costas is getting roasted, and appropriately so, for maybe the most incredible subconscious bias calls ever in the playoffs. This was a double play turned by the Royals at Yankee Stadium on the slower-than-shit Giancarlo Stanton, who I don't know why he can't run. But apparently running is not his thing. He doesn't grind out anything to first base. Here's Costas with the call. Tell me what you think when you hear it.
Hit to short. Whit gets the force. Can they turn two? Yes, they can. And it's just the point we were making. It's not Giancarlo's fault. A near base hit. Couldn't beat it out at the other end. Turns into a double play.
That's horrible. That's freaking horrible.
Right. You're supposed you're supposed to be a neutral announcer. Listen.
Gets the force. Can they turn two? Yes, they can. And it's just the point we were making.
Yes, they can. Blah, blah, blah.
I did not hear that. That is horrific. That is so bad.
And I don't know what he was saying about. I didn't hear the preceding comments about, as we were saying, it's not Giancarlo Stanton's fault. Why not? A, he hit into the double play. Second, he's fucking slower than shit.
Yeah. Well, you know, usually when a guy is accused of being a homer, he's excited on a win or a walk-off, and it's like, hey, that's their job. Whichever team wins, make the call. But that's different. That's just, oh, man, we lost. Oops, I don't mean we.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is a guy that grew up idolizing Mickey Mantle. He had a Mickey Mantle baseball card in his wallet, would pull it out sometimes during interviews. And there's nothing wrong with having Mickey Mantle as your idol. Millions and millions of kids did his age. But fuck, what is he doing when it comes to the broadcast? So this was an idea I kicked around with some of the boys today. They said, well, it's tough because, you know, even if an announcer is pretty well down the middle, juicing up good plays by both teams. And certainly an inning-ending double play should be juiced up by Costas, right?
Sure.
It's like, sure. Witt, the second, over to first, and they got him! And they are out of this threat by the Yankees in the sixth inning as we head to the bottom of the inning. That's the right call to make if you're truly being neutral. But even if a guy is down the middle, each fan base believes that the national guys hate their team, want to see them lose. Boog Sciombe made this reference in the Brewers Mets series, although Boog Sciombe calls games for the Cubs, so he was a natural rival of sorts. And there was a few calls in which you go, didn't sound like he was too excited for the Brewers there. And then, you know, you had Michael Kay doing the Astros series as a Yankees guy. That was ridiculous. But here was the idea. Ready? Let the home announcing teams call the national feed when the games in a series are at their park. So part of the challenge, if you're the team going on the road to beat, you know, your opponent, is you got to, you know, play at their place. You as a fan at home also have to, quote, play at the other team's place by hearing their TV announcers. When you get home to your place, you'll get your homers, but that's going to be part of the charm of the postseason. We got to beat them and beat their fucking homer announcers. What do you think?
That's not too bad. I think that's kind of fun. Of course, you get to that sort of, if you did that, the future is a million channels, and why not have both feeds as an option? You know,
right.
Pick which one you want.
One of the really cool things about subscribing to NFL Plus, the app that has the all 22s and the condensed games. Do you subscribe to that? I assume you do.
No.
Where do you get your condensed games?
We've had that. I have a service that gets all sports.
Okay. All right. So NFL Plus for like $99 a year. It's pretty good value, all things considered. You get your condensed games, you get your all 22s if you really want to dig into those. But more importantly, you can listen via their app to the home or the away team by just clicking a toggle button. Same thing for the MLB subscription online. And that's really cool because I do like popping in and listening to the other team's play-by-play guys.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, the last time this came up, I got a whole bunch of emails that said, Zabe kind of glossed over that. What is the service you have?
I'll answer for as your attorney. Let me answer that one. Don't answer that one, okay? It's a service, people, that requires payment in Bitcoin, and I'm gonna leave it at that.
I've had it for 5 years. I pay $200 or $300 a year, and I get every sporting event, including UFC, and everything known to man.
Right.
And that is the best use of $200 of Bitcoin I can have.
Unlike the old days, like the really old days, talking 2000, when you could buy a hacked DirecTV access card, because guys would sell those. When you bought one of those and used it, you were committing a crime. If you spend Bitcoin for a streaming service that is based in Curacao, they're committing the crime. You're not really going to be prosecuted. You may be out a couple hundred bucks in Bitcoin, but you're not going to jail. Guys actually got in trouble legally. I don't know if they went to jail, but you couldn't even use one of those cards without risking serious legal consequences.
Oh, yeah. I remember those days. It was more of my dad doing that. But anyway.
Yes.
All right, back to Costas, I would say this. First of all, I guess he has seniority and can do what he wants, but why do you put him on the Yankees? You know,
because he's the big star.
Yeah, I guess.
I know.
But maybe I'm wrong because, you know, but my memory of him was doing games in the 90s, late 90s, during that big Yankee run. And I swear to God, half the reason Derek Jeter was Derek Jeter was Costas blowing him up every day and worshiping him and talking about how he dove in the stands for 7 years in a row.
Right.
And Jeter was so overrated because Costas made him that.
I was going to say, from if you put a brown paper bag around Jeter and his career, what does he look like as a shortstop?
Yeah. Oh, he's a leader. Come on.
No. I'm asking seriously because I've never dug this deep into his numbers. I've always known he was a bit over-glorified, to say the least.
Oh, yeah.
But just how much is he over-glorified by the numbers? Do you have an opinion on that?
Oh, yeah. He was the second best shortstop on the left side of the Yankees infield.
Well, yeah, he had to move over once. A-Rod played third, right? Or was it?
A-Rod played third. He was way better shortstop than Jeter ever was.
Yeah. Okay. Pete Rose passed away. I didn't get to get your two cents on this as a baseball fan and as a gambler. What does Mr. X say about Pete Rose finally getting the ultimate call up? We hope he's gotten called up. I don't think you'd go to hell just because you gamble on baseball, but whatever.
Well, yeah, I assume you've already done your take on this.
Well, that's why I want your take.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm repeating you or whenever I tell examples or stories about my kids, my four boys, that's when I get the most emails. Some are like, I could really care less about your family, but three-fourths or higher of them are like, oh gosh, that's what they want to hear. Cause most guys have families,
Yeah. No, they like hearing about that stuff.
Yeah. And to me, this like Rose to me was a lesson I've taught in my house 1,000 times. My kids, I always taught them, know the game, play the game, know the rules. Like, don't come home and tell me the teacher gives you points for raising your hand in class and it's stupid. Well, you know what? If that's the rule, put your damn hand up. Know what the rule is and play the game.
Okay.
And what bothers me about the takes on Rose about, now that MGM this and partners that and gambling, it's time to – no. Back in that day, there wasn't a person in a major league clubhouse that didn't 100% know, hey, you ever heard of Shoeless Joe Jackson? Don't do it or you're out for life. And he did it. And he took the punishment. And what happens today doesn't have anything to do with breaking rules when he broke them. I never had an issue with his punishment because you can't talk about what happens today. If they change the speed limit, they don't change the ticket you got last week. You know the rules, you play by the rules. And if you don't, you don't. Everybody gambled.
Right.
So what?
Well,
So I never believed that his punishment was harsh. I mean, Shoeless Joe's was harsh. I never thought it was a problem. And he agreed to the punishment.
He did.
And, the guy dies and that's that. So
he agreed to the punishment and then figured, they're going to eventually go, come on, let Pete in. And he would work the media sympathy angle, which he did. He denied for the longest of time. And when that finally showed like it was never going to work, he came clean and admitted to it, even though the evidence was overwhelming.
Yep.
So, there was all that. But two points to be made on that, and I totally agree.
Yep.
By the way, he should be put in the Hall of Fame now because it was a lifetime ban.
Ooh, I got you.
He's dead. So the lifetime ban is over. His life has ended. But the two things about that gambling-wise that need to be emphasized, many youngins, including X2, 3, and 4, may or may not understand the absolute seismic consequences of the Black Sox scandal and the trust in the American pastime, baseball, about guys gambling on the game. Like, this was an event that was massive that had to be addressed forcefully. Like, look, we're not going to be doing this if the public thinks these games are fucking rigged. So that's why it was such a big deal. And back in Pete's day, the intel that he would have had on who's really hurt or not, or who might be pitching or not, was a huge edge to have. And so therefore it was quite bad what he did. Would you agree? Yeah.
Well, I guess I do, but I also simplify it to the same thing of you don't agree to terms and then later talk about, yeah, those terms suck. You agreed to not gamble and you did
it. Right. It's so very black and white for you.
An inside or anything. Right. It's like, you don't, it reminds me of the NFL when, during the Brady thing where they signed the contract, the collective bargaining that says Goodell does suspensions. And if you don't like it, you can appeal it to Goodell.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. And then later you go, you know what? This is a stupid rule. And you're like, and you signed
it. You agreed to it. Exactly.
So, you know, right. Edge or no edge, he was the first guy in 60 years to, you know, to get caught. The Jackson thing, as you pointed out, it wiped out that as a problem.
Yeah.
You know,
well, hell of a fucking ball player. I tell you that much.
Sure.
Yep. Hell of a ball player. He was to me, he was like the modern Babe Ruth in that. I'm not saying his dominance of the game was equal to Ruth because, you know, nobody was as good head and shoulders above the game as Ruth was. But Babe Ruth was universally known as a ball player amongst the most casual of even non-sports fans. Pete Rose was known as, like, he's America's baseball player. Everyone knows Pete fucking Rose, in part because he had a nice, perfect, short, easy-to-remember name. Pete Rose. 8 letters. Yeah. You know, so... Anyway.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll give him I always hated him growing up. I hated him on the field, but nobody ever played harder. I mean, the guy played harder in an all-star game than anyone else did the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. You said we missed the Jaguars degenerate suing DraftKings. I thought we talked about that.
Well, you sent it to me and said you wanted to, but we didn't. I don't know a lot about that.
Okay. So you read the story. He's claiming DraftKings should have cut him off, even though he was stealing $200 million from the Jaguars as an employee. They should have known that he was probably a guy stealing the money to be betting that much, and that red flag should have gone up, and they should have cut him off.
Yeah. Tough one. I don't think it is. Well, no, it is for this reason. The more I read that, and the more I read about the hosts and the personal contact and the trying to continue to make him gamble when he was losing zillions, to me, I do see the similarity to the drunk in the bar. You got to at some point go, I don't need to keep selling this liquor.
Right.
You do have some responsibility. The fact that they were aggressively targeting him, that kind of troubles me that's what these books do. But
it troubles you.
Yeah.
Does it trouble you when the lion runs down a beautiful little baby antler or a gazelle by the antlers? That's just what they do.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize they did it that aggressively. However, that don't have a damn thing to do with stealing money. I don't, you know, the fact that I might want you to go broke is one thing, but to think that I made you go steal money, that's an absurd.
Well, yeah, they generally speaking, they don't ask questions. They adhere to the line from the HBO special that I like to play so much. Here it is.
When somebody's like that, Yero got a monster now. He's no longer a fish. He's a monster. That's a Jaws in the water.
What do you do with that person?
Take him for a ride.
Take him for a ride. That's what they do. You know, it's akin to, you ever see the story of Leonard Toast, the former owner of the Eagles?
Don't recall that one.
Leonard Toast, former owner of the Eagles back in the 70s, early 80s, loved to gamble in Atlantic City, play blackjack by himself at a table, playing all 5 positions. And he was a drinker. And he drank and he played and he drank and he played and he lost and he lost and he lost. And he kept signing markers for more money. For more money.
He
ended up losing all his money, lost the team because of it, took the casino to court, and his main piece of evidence, which I thought would have been pretty strong, was, see these marker slips? Yeah. See my signature? Yeah. It was nothing but a squiggly line. They said, this can't be considered a legal signature. You know, look at how drunk he was. He was just like, rah. And the court said, or at least the jury said, or maybe the law said, well, you're on security video signing these things. it's done. They got you. They got your money. No case. Throw out the case.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't ever want to be a rich guy in front of a jury.
Right.
Oh, you're not winning.
Right. Or even a formerly rich guy who's now a broke guy begging for mercy from a jury. Okay.
You know, now that I say that, I'm starting to change my mind because I just had flashbacks to the late 80s, early 90s when blackjack games were in hotel rooms, you know, on a Friday.
They were?
Oh, yeah.
In the rooms?
Bookmakers would rent hotel rooms or like suites. Because it was all, and then you'd go there to play because, you know, there was nothing legal around here. And the more I say that, I do remember they'd always send cars for me. So I guess maybe they were doing the same thing this guy. So maybe it is okay that they kind of entice their customers.
So wait a minute. You in the D.C. area would to hotels that quietly had wheeled in blackjack machines or what?
No. Dealers. Dealers.
Oh, right.
They'd live, host the game.
Right. So live
pro
cash
dealers,
games.
The police would be funding it. And they're more than happy to, you know, the first time I didn't go and they call me and say, why don't you come? And I said, well, I went to Happy Hour. I drank too much. They said, we'll be right over.
What bar are you at?
Mr. We'll send you a car. And I was like, I got spoiled after that and made them always pick me up.
Oh, yeah, God.
You're right. I guess it's, I changed my mind. I guess it's okay to solicit that customer.
Football is back. And so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet. Or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. Hiring? With Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right. College football last weekend, the big upset was Vandy over Alabama. And not only was it an upset, I heard from one of my peeps that you made it a Rover and over. True?
Absolutely not.
Really?
I'd love to take credit.
It was, however, I think the spread was 22 or 23.
Yeah, it was not a Rover.
Well, the game did go over.
Sure.
And the underdog by at least 22 points won. So it technically turned out to be a Rover and over. However, it's not one that you would have looked at on the front end and said, here's one to play. So that needs to be pointed out.
No,
not every game that ends up being a Rover and over starts as one. The Rover and overs are prime opportunities for super heavy underdogs of like 40 points or more, usually.
Well, I'm looking at it now, and I see the closing line was 23, and the total was 53. That's a spread of 30 points. That means Vanderbilt had to score. That would have, I do think somebody emailed me, and maybe it's who you're talking about, saying to me, what do you think? Is this a Rover and over? And I think my answer was no, it does not fit the criteria. However, I do like the dog. But it, that was just like an opinion, not the theory, if that makes sense. Okay. That was not a nowhere close to the theory of Rover and Over.
All right.
And I think maybe I did respond to him and say, I like your thinking, but the answer is no. So I won't take credit on that one. No.
All right. The public continues to win in the NCAA. The public. College yeah. betting, the public plays are winning. Yeah. Why is that?
Well, first of all, but before I forget, I'm going to need to find out who this insider that's feeding you info is. You're going to tell me that one later.
It was just an email or maybe a tweet. I thought it was
somebody from the Wisconsin Mafia. Okay.
Well, they all tattle on you, but don't worry about that.
Okay.
They're meatheads. I love tattle them, but they're away. Meatheads.
Tattle away.
By the way, I get your stuff anyway. You've made me a complimentary subscriber. And
did I?
Yeah, and I'm sorry to say I'm not as much of a degenerate that I don't read it every week, you know?
Yeah.
But I should. I should be reading it. I should be playing it.
You've only been saying that to me since around 2003.
I know. I like gambling. I'm not as into it as some of these guys are. But okay.
That's good. Well, you just asked me a question and I forgot what it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, why is the public winning in college?
Oh, I don't know, but they are. I mean, I track things differently. You know, when you hear the casinos and the house talking about they took a beat, blah, blah, blah. That's about money. That's about how much they won or lost. And if everybody's betting on the same games, you know, that's what they're tracking. What I track is how many do the public get right and wrong when they're all over a certain side. Okay. That's what I care about because they only care about their bottom line. So anyway, like two weeks ago, the top 10 public games that the public was, you know, by top, I don't mean they bet the most money. I mean, there was lopsided, nobody betting on one side. That's to me what I want to know. And usually when, you know, 85% of the people are betting the favorite, yeah, that's when you want to be on the dog because they're just not usually right when they're that far off. Well, 2 weeks ago, they went 9-1. On the top 10 games, and that just doesn't happen. And last week I had them going 7-3. So maybe the casinos are, you know, when they report wins and losses, it's different. But I've seen in college this year, the public has just been getting everything.
Yeah. All right.
I can't say why.
Right.
I can say why. Blind luck. But it'll turn around. It's probably the best time to start going against the public when they are on such a hot streak because it won't continue.
Right. NFL last week.
Okay. Last week, the favorites went 10-4. Finally had a really strong week. Of the four losses, three of them won outright. Somebody covered the Jags game, I guess.
That was there was a push in there. Yeah, the Jags game, I think, was a push. That's good for John Q. Public for the favorites to win, right?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Public doesn't bet dogs. I mean, not very often.
No.
Not very often.
No.
And the over, that's true. The Jags did go back and forth between 3 and 3.5. I might have counted that as a 3.5. Anyway, the over-unders last week went 7-7, an even week there. And I had the public going 1-3, losing again. NFL, they're not doing well, but in college, they're doing well. Our picks last week, you know, I just, on my way home, replayed the end because I want to make sure I had your picks right.
Okay.
And I love listening. I'm sorry, but I love listening.
When I'm
to,
dead wrong, which
well,
is a lot.
Dead wrong, dead right, as long as you stay consistent. But I love the analysis of the reason you took Tampa was Kyle Pitts and how atrocious he was.
He had
his breakout game.
He had a good game. Yeah, exactly.
Nice game. Last week, you missed with Tampa. I hit with Atlanta. Hit the total as well and hit the prop
Although,
as well.
Can we talk about the end of that game and how it worked out? Raheem Morris should teach a class to any other coach if they want to pay attention to why it's so critical to keep all 3 year timeouts dry. They're inside of 2 minutes and they go for a fourth and long on their own side of the 50. When every other announcer would be like, I don't know, you should probably punt it away here. You got three timeouts. he was smart in that he realized, look, if you need the ball back to win the game, you need the ball back. The field position is not of your concern right now. Go for it at least on a fourth and long if you can convert it, as long as it's not like fourth and 20. Go for it and then drop anchor to create a so-called null set possession of less than 25 seconds for three plays and timeouts.
Agree. The real interesting point to last week on top of that was, you know, my prop that I gave out on the show last
which was?
Week was Bucks backup running back whose name is escaping me all of a sudden.
Okay.
Not White.
Tyler Algiers?
No, on the other side. Bucky Irving on Tampa.
Oh, okay.
I had given him out over 40, and I hadn't missed a prop on your show all year. And the last play of regulation, he's sitting under. He gained 7 and lost the ball on the way.
Oh.
That was the turnover that put Atlanta back into tied up and sent it OT.
Oh.
And I'm sitting there, you know, you're always wondering on fumbles what the official yardage is, because it was one of those where he got stripped right. while running.
Right.
So it's like, how many yards? And they gave him 7 on the carry to push it over and lose the game. Practically lost the game with that fumble, but we hit the over on it. That was a classic, hey, thanks for getting me 7 yards before you gave up the ball and lost the game for your team. So for the year, you are now, unfortunately, 1-4 on the game.
Terrible. Fade me to the moon.
I'm 3-2. On the totals, you're 2-2-1 on the, you know, picking the over-under for points. You're 2-2-1, and I'm 4-0-1.
Nice.
And on the props, I'm 4-1. So overall, I'm 11-3-1 on your show, and you're 3-6-1. So probably time to go the other way on me, too, because you can't keep going 11-3. But we'll give it a try.
All right, so let's go ahead and take a look real quick and give our picks here. Sorry about my phone punching through with the text messages. I should have set it to do not disturb. But let's go ahead and punch through and get the game on the table here. Who do you like? Niners, Seahawks, and the spread is?
Right now, let's see. San Fran on the road is laying 3.5. The total has jumped to 49.5. It opened around 47. I thought it was way too low. It's going up. That's called chasing a line. You like over 47. You'll hear sharp people say, just let it go. Don't chase it. You know, you don't have to say, okay, I missed that one. But anyway, we're going to pick it.
The Seahawks last week losing to the Giants shocked a lot of people because everyone had presumed the Giants were total dog shit and they were playing them up in Seattle. And it made no sense until somebody pointed out the Seahawks played the Lions last week. And teams coming off games against Campbell and the Lions, they feel it the next week. It's a tough recovery, win or lose. And that I think there's a number that backs it up, but don't quote me on it. But basically, that was a factor in this game. How will that play in this week after they lost a game? They probably should have won, just like the Niners lost a game. They probably should have won against the Cardinals, is anyone's guess. When I'm picking this game, I feel like I'm gambling right now, and I'm not very good at gambling at 1-4.
Wow, I'm going to be the opposite. Most of the games I've picked this year, I have felt like, yeah, I wouldn't bet this one, but it's Thursday. This week, I'm going to
feeling frisky.
I'm feeling this one.
Okay. So, and what are you feeling? Can I look at your test paper? Let me hear it first.
that's my main website theory I've used for 6 years. I always say is in school, got to do your own work. In life, you got to know whose paper to copy off of.
Okay. So why do you like this game on Thursday night?
Well, first of all, your point about Seattle coming off of a real bad performance is usually a reason to take them, unless you look at the fact San Fran just lost as well.
Right.
So we're both in an equally frustrating spot. I don't. And by the way, a lesson in here is Seahawks. If they weren't my number one season total pick over, they were second. I love them over 7.5 this year.
Okay.
But you have to leave those things in the rearview mirror. This team is not playing well. Gino was god-awful against the Giants. It was embarrassing how bad he was. He just dropped back, couldn't see anything. They're not playing well. San Fran coming in off another loss. They're 2-3, and they're still rated probably the second highest rated team on the Vegas, you know, power ratings. Everyone knows this is a good team. They can't mess up anymore. And I think they're a great team playing average. And the Seahawks are, you know, maybe they're 3-2, but they're not impressive. Geno Smith is not impressive. I think this is a get-right game for San Fran. And I'll lay the 3.5 points there pretty comfortably.
I'm with you then. I'm going to ride with you, Mr. X. Tired of beating my head against the wall. I'm on the Niners as well. A get-right game for a fundamentally better team. Brock Purdy's been throwing picks inside the red zone. That's really slowed him down. And he's said, look, I got to be better in that regard. But, yeah, I'll ride with you on the Niners on this one, laying 3.5.
Which is a tough thing to do on the road, but I just think there's a much bigger gap between these teams than that number. How about your total?
Total, I'm going to go under.
Yeah, this is one of those ones that, you know, when you like over 47 and you like under 49, that's time to find another game. But I'm going to stick with the over. I'll go opposite on you on that one.
All right.
My prop this week, trying to stay undefeated, my prop this week, I'm taking Kenneth Walker of Seattle over 79.5 combo rushing and receiving yards. I just think he's going to be starting to get the load share back, and I'll take him over, even though I'm on the other side of the game.
All right. For more, just go to his website, callmemrx.com. You can follow him on socials, Twitter, at @justcallmemrx. As always, bet with your head, not over it. Gamble responsibly, all that good stuff. And remember, winning is nice. Getting paid is even nicer.
All right. See you next week.
See ya.
Thanks, man. Once again, anything changed. Every time I switch lanes, it feels strange now. Making a living on my brain instead of cane now. I got the title from my mama. Put the whip in my own name
now. Football is back. And so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet. Or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.